And now, Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks.
Hey, everybody. What's up? Welcome to Move the Sticks. DJ Bucky here. Pre-combine show here. This is a part one. We're going to focus on the offensive players today, Buck, and then the later podcast later in the week, we'll jump into the defensive side. How you doing, man?
Man, I'm doing great. It's been a great weekend. A lot of NFL news over the weekend, and then we get ready to go to the combine. Can't get better than this.
Yeah, we're going to jump right in here. Let's not mess around, because before we get to the combine, I want to talk about a couple things took place inside the league. I know you've written about both of these. You've had a chance to jump on the air and talk about this stuff, and it's two fascinating stories. Let's start number one, Marcus Peters, arguably the top cornerback in the NFL, somebody that we always talk about, Buck. You were on him early in the draft process. I remember even some of the lines you said, it takes a, you're going to have to find a wolf to coach a wolf, I want to say is what you said.
Takes a wolf to coach a wolf, yep.
Yes, but he's been the best. I mean, you can argue about whether he's the best corner in the league. You cannot argue about who the turnover king is at the position, because it has been Marcus Peters, and now looks like he's headed to the Rams.
Yeah, I think from Marcus Peters' standpoint, he goes to the perfect environment for him. He goes to the West Coast. He gets to play in L.A. He gets to play in front of a fan base that's a little more tolerant of maybe his anthem protest. And then he gets to play for a coach who really understands how to deal with strong personality players. Wade Phillips is a guy who has had tremendous success wherever he's gone coaching on defense. He has dealt with a lot of big watt personalities, Sean Merriman in San Diego. You think about some of the players that he had in Dallas, then in Denver with Aqib Talib, Chris Harris, the way that room was constructed. He is fine allowing guys to be themselves, but he also puts guys in a position to have success in L.A. The missing part of their defense has really been that premier corner. Look, no disrespect to Tremaine Johnson. Tremaine Johnson did a really good job for them being their number one, but Marcus Peters is a much better player. Now you get a takeaway machine, a turnover magnet. I think this elevates the Rams' defense and allows Wade Phillips to really be a little more creative up front, because he has someone in the back end who can feast off of those tips and overthrows in the back end.
Yeah, let's look at it again from the Rams' perspective, and then we'll jump over to the other side with what the Chiefs are thinking and what they're doing. To me, he's the perfect player for what they have personnel-wise, because you look at Aaron Donald and the heat he's going to generate on the down-in, down-out business. You look at Robert Quinn, what he brings to the table when he's right. They've got a lot of dudes they can throw at the quarterback. Ball's going to come out quick. The one knock, I would say, on Marcus Peters, he gambles a little bit. He'll take chances. When you have a front like that, you can afford to take chances. Then you have one of the most explosive offenses in the NFL. You steal them an extra possession or two a game, you're going to win a lot of football games.
Hey, I absolutely agree with you on that. And you know this team very, very well doing the preseason stuff with them. You talk about a perfect corner who is married to the way they play, the front and the pressure that they can generate. He can sit and really take calculated risks on the Allen all day, because he knows Aaron Donald's going to heat him up on the inside. Robert Quinn, when he's healthy, he also is able to create a pass rush. So now, knowing that you don't have to cover, the ball is going to come out. For a guy that likes to squat on routes or key to three-step and do some of the things that elite corners are able to do from an off position, this plays perfectly for Marcus Peters. I wouldn't be surprised to see him lead the league in interceptions, because he's going to get a lot of opportunities where the ball is coming out hot, and he's going to be able to sit there and jump the route.
The other thing that's interesting from a financial standpoint for the Rams, you take Tremaine Johnson's big tag number off the books, and you've got Peters coming in as a better player at a really, really low number. Now, I'll be anxious to see if Peters will actually show up without a new contract, or if he's going to demand a new contract from his team. But let's assume they can get him to play on that number for the year. Now it frees you up. If you want to get aggressive in trying to bring back a guy like Sammy Watkins, you can do it. You look at Joyner, being able to tag him potentially as a franchise player, who's one of the best, better young safeties in the league, to be able to get him back in the fold. It does free up a little bit financially, under the assumption that Marcus Peters doesn't demand a new deal.
Well, early, he has to play under that small note. He's not making a lot of money. I think 1-2 will be what his number is this year. Basically, the way it outlines, if they pick up the fifth-year option, 2 years, $10 million for Marcus Peters, an all-pro corner. Then you always have the luxury of being able to slap him with the franchise tag if you can't get a long-term deal. So for 3 years, you're assured of having a guy that's been a two-time all-pro player. You have to like that if you're the Rams. And because he is playing for a new contract, you're assured at least the first year you can get Marcus Peters on his best behavior. He's going to fit into the fabric of the team. He's going to do all the things that he needs to do to get on the field to make sure that he's able to get his money. So for the Rams, all the leverage is really on your side of the table. I think it's interesting looking at it from the Kansas City side. This is a team, their fans get mad when I say they're in a rebuilding process, but by the time we get to free agency, we will see that they will be in a full rebuild, meaning they're going to jettison some of the players that have been key playmakers for them. I don't think we'll see Tamba Ali. They've already let go of Derek Johnson, told him he won't be back. They got rid of Darrell Reeves. Now you move Marcus Peters out. You have some other guys that also fall by the wayside. And then on offense, you move your quarterback who played at an MVP level last year, and you insert a rookie. I just don't know how this necessarily makes them better without it being viewed as a rebuild. Their fans are saying it's a retool. I think it's a little more significant than that when you start letting all pros walk out the building.
Yeah, no, it's interesting from their standpoint. We talked about this off the air a little bit. I just wonder a little bit, when you have somebody that's had some – what the right word is for Marcus? I mean, some immaturity. Look, he's definitely had some immaturity on the field in terms of losing his cool, losing his composure. And then attitude has always been something that's brought up and discussed with him. You go back to Washington and Coach Peterson removing him from the football team there. So you have some attitude questions. You hit the nail on the head right away when you said when he came out, you got to have a wolf to coach a wolf. I get what you're saying there. I just wonder if Kansas City – when he's not the lead guy on your defense, when he's not the leader of your defense, and he's like the number two, number three guy, you've got a healthy Eric Berry who's rolling. You've got a Justin Houston. Maybe he doesn't have to fill in that top spot. But now with his play, he's kind of emerged as their best defensive player. And like it or not, when you're the best player on that side of the ball, you're a leader. Guys are going to follow you one way or the other. I think maybe it could be a situation where they say, you know, we got a lot out of him, but we don't necessarily want him being the guy that's setting the tone for this team. When you look at the Rams and where they are, they got the defensive player of the year on their team. So he's not coming in as the lead dog. That's Aaron Donald's role. He's going to be coming in more of a supplemental role, even though he's a great player. I just think the attitude thing has to factor it in here somewhere, because you just don't part with a Pro Bowl, all pro type corner in the prime of his career. You just don't do that unless there's something else there.
Now, DJ, I don't know if you do yard work, because I certainly don't do it, but my dad owned a landscaping company for a long time. What the Kansas City Chiefs have done, they pruned the trees a little bit so they can let some other things grow. So if we're saying that Pat Mahomes is going to be the franchise quarterback, obviously he needs to be the leader of the team. The way that you can make sure that he is able to comfortably lead is to not have so many loud voices in the locker room. I would equate this similarly to what the Carolina Panthers did when they moved on from Steve Smith so they could allow Cam Newton to kind of grow into the role of being the leader of the team. It was controversial at the time, and not that Steve Smith had done anything wrong, but he's a strong personality, and that personality is going to kind of command more attention from the guys in the locker room. When you remove that part of the equation, now Cam can be the guy that stands in front of the room and he kind of holds fort. I think the thing with Pat Mahomes, you take Marcus Peters out of the locker room, you have some other young players that can kind of emerge. Maybe Reggie Ragland becomes the leader of that defense. Then on offense, Pat Mahomes, and maybe those are the two guys that kind of leads the Kansas City Chiefs into the next phase of the era under Andy Reid.
Another thing you got to remember now, you trade Alex Smith, now you trade Marcus Peters. This was a team, because of the move up for Mahomes, was lacking in draft capital. Looks like they're going to get some picks back this year, maybe even a little bit the following year there. So that'd be something to keep an eye on. One more point with the Rams. Buck, unless I'm crazy here, they'll be looking at some comp picks if they did let Tremaine Johnson go, if he let him walk away, with the number he's going to command on the open market. And if Sammy Watkins were to leave, maybe some of these picks they're parting with for Marcus Peters might have to wait a year, but they could be in line for some comp picks next year.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think we can't underestimate, they're getting a very talented player. They're getting a proven commodity. And as much as we, as draft guys, are fascinated by the draft, there is something about knowing exactly what you're getting as opposed to taking the mystery door and door number two. And I think for the Rams, they get that. They saw that because they were eventually going to have to move on from Tremaine Johnson because his compensation was not going to match how he played in today's game. So they now get a proven player. And I think for the Kansas City Chiefs, the big issue now, I think it puts a lot of pressure on Brett Veach and that staff. They got to make sure that they parlay these picks into elite players, because two players that they walked out were Pro Bowl caliber players. They have to make sure that they replace them with the same kind of value in the back end.
Last point on this whole trade, and we'll move on to the next big story here in the NFL. But are you with me on the Charger train, Buck? If they stay healthy next year,
it's a done deal.
You take some of these players off the Kansas City Chiefs. You look at the Denver Broncos in semi in a rebuild, trying to figure out their quarterback situation. The Oakland Raiders, Chucky comes back in. John Gruden going to take a little bit of an adjustment period there, you would think. They're not great defensively when you look at their personnel. They've got some work to do. Man, I think the Chargers, who just missed the playoffs this year, they got to be licking their chops for this next season to start.
Well positioned, but I'm not going to give them the dreaded curse. I'm not going to say print the shirts, because last time I did that, the team finished
Giants
with the second overall pick. But what I will say, if the Chargers can't win the division this year, I don't know when they'll ever win the division, because it is laid out for them perfectly to kind of run roughshod over the AFC West.
All right, 3 years, $54 million, 26.5 guaranteed. Sounds like a lot of money to everyday folks like us, Buck. But when you look at the landscape of the position there at the quarterback position, Blake Bortles, this new 3-year contract, I think it's a number you can swallow as a Jaguar personnel department. It's also a number I think if you're a fan of the team, you'd be comfortable with.
Absolutely. And look, we have probably been as hard on Blake Bortles as anybody else. But I love this move for both sides. I love it for the Jacksonville Jaguars, because they have locked up their young number one quarterback for the next few years on a deal that is very, very team friendly. I like it for Blake Bortles, because if I'm Blake Bortles and I'm looking at the scene and I'm looking at the landscape potentially as a free agent, I know that I wasn't going to get $18 million annually from anyone else. This gives me an opportunity to make big money, to stay at a comfortable place, to win games where I know what I have around me. I have a top defense. I got a strong running game. Have a passing game that's been adequate. We can continue to upgrade there, but I can win. And if I win, I can get big money. And then when you look at this in the overall scheme of things when it comes to the quarterback, this deal is on par with what Andy Dalton signed when he led the Bengals in 2015. He had almost an MVP caliber year. It puts him right in the mix with like Alex Smith back in the day, his other deal. I think this deal will put Blake Bortles maybe 18th overall with starting quarterbacks, which is about what he is as a player. So I think it kind of matches. Compensation must match the production. I think this is the perfect match. Anything over that would have been too much for me.
You'd be shocked if in the second round, third round, they took a quarterback?
No, I still think they take another one. I think this gives them an opportunity to do that, but they don't have the pressure of feeling like they have to move up or make a radical move. I think they can sit, identify a young quarterback that they would like to develop that could be a starter, that could put pressure on Blake Bortles. It has to be someone that's good enough where Blake can feel him every day in practice coming, because I think he performs better when he's a little uncomfortable. So bring someone in that has a legit opportunity to grow into the starting role, and I think then you win. I think it's a win-win for the Jaguars, because you have two quarterbacks that can play. You're developing another quarterback behind Blake Bortles, and Blake Bortles is going to play better because he knows at any moment he can find himself on the bench because the guy behind him is just as good.
I would love to know if they, you know, look, it's technically you're not allowed to, I guess, because we haven't reached legal tampering period, which is one of my favorite phrases in all of sports, legal tampering. Yeah. But you'd have to think they had to have had a discussion and said, is there any way we could have figured out how to do the Kirk Cousins thing, right? You had to at least kick that idea around the room.
Oh, I think there were some clandestine conversations where they were able to figure out what it would take for Kirk Cousins to come on board, what that number looked like, and how would it affect the rest of their team. And I think this is a team that made the decision, like, look, we'd rather have Blake Bortles on a very value-priced deal then overpay maybe a little bit to win the bid for Kirk Cousins. I think that's ultimately the decision they made. They saved a little money, they have the guy, and they still can fortify and upgrade the rest of the team that they needed to make sure they can continue to be a contender in the AFC.
Yeah, I mean, look, do I envision the confetti falling on Blake Bortles, Super Bowl champion, hoisting the trophy? I still have a tough time with that, but I'll be honest with you, I didn't envision –
Nick Foles.
Season last year, Nick Foles could be doing that. So
Derrick Thomas is not going to make a prediction.
No, I'm leaving that one alone. I'm leaving that one alone. But I do think that when you look at this team now, when you look at their focus going into the offseason, free agency, and the draft, as many resources as they've poured into the defense for the last 3-4 years, I think you start to see some of those resources funneled to the offensive side. Leonard Fournette was a top pick for him last year. Mm-hmm. I think you continue to add pieces around Bortles in the upcoming draft.
Yeah, I think so. And I think the best way, when we look at the way Bortles plays, right down the middle. They can upgrade the tight end position. Mercedes Lewis has been a great player for them for a long time, but it's time to find another guy that can be dynamic. They can find someone that can work between the hashes, bring back Allen Robinson, who can dominate outside the numbers and have the running game. I think you're now setting your young quarterback up to have the best opportunity to succeed in this league.
Yeah, Dallas Goedert, remember that name. We had him on the pod a little bit earlier in the fall. Just remember that name. South Dakota State, big-time tight end, would be a great fit there. Let's play a little quarterback carousel game here, Buck. I wrote about this. I think it's up already on NFL.com. You can check it out. Just go to NFL.com/Daniel Jeremiah. You can find that article. Bucky, you've written on Peters, and did you write on Bortles too?
No, but I'm going to write on Bortles this week. That's going to be part of my notebook. We can talk about Bortles. We're also going to talk about, I don't know if you saw, Tariq Cohen said that he can do some Tyreek Hill things in this new offense. So we're going to touch on that. And then some other topics. I'm going to talk about Quentin Nelson and why I'm struggling thinking about spending a pick on a top 10. Top 10 pick.
You've got a lot of good stuff. NFL.com/Bucky Brooks. You can find everything Bucky's got out there. You're going to enjoy that. All right, quarterback carousel, Buck. I'm just going to read the name, and I'm going to give you my way early prediction of where these guys land. I like the fit. It's a little bit of everything. It's a little bit of the fit. It's a little bit of what you're hearing, and it's a little bit of just trying to read between the lines and see what makes sense here. So I'll go with the name of the quarterback where I have him going. You feel free to agree, disagree, give me another option. You ready?
All right.
All right, let's go. Let's start with the Vikings trio here. Let's go Case Keenum. I say Case Keenum lands with the Denver Broncos. I think they're in pursuit of a veteran quarterback. I think they come up short on their pursuit of Kirk Cousins. I think Case Keenum is a fallback for them.
Wow. I did not see that one coming.
I thought
Case Keenum would be best served to stay in Minnesota. I think he's kind of a Minnesota guy. I worry about Denver seeing him as Trevor Siemian all over again. And so I think if they're going to get an upgrade, I think they go all out. I think John Elway just empties the bucket and says, Kirk Cousins, write your ticket. I got to make it right.
All right. So that'll get us to him in just a little bit. Sam Bradford. This is one that was a little unique for me. Mm-hmm. Sam Bradford needs to stay healthy. When he stays healthy, he plays well. I don't know that there's going to be a team that's willing to bank on him being their starter because of the durability. I think he probably has to go somewhere where there's a quarterback in place, but a place maybe they want to bring in some competition, maybe light the fire a little bit. How about the Baltimore Ravens bring in Sam Bradford, hopefully get him on a friendly deal, just to give Joe Flacco a little nudge, just a little nudge there. Say, hey, if the performance does not pick up, we have another option right behind you.
You don't think Ryan Mallett gives him that little nudge every day?
No.
That doesn't happen.
I don't think he's feeling the pressure from Ryan Mallett. I think he would feel the pressure from Sam Bradford.
Okay, now you were close because I like Baltimore, but I like the original franchise before it moved to Baltimore as the pick. I'm gonna say Cleveland. Oh, okay. Because you need a veteran quarterback. They talk about wanting to kind of add some experience to the quarterback room. You sign Sam Bradford, it now makes it very easy for you to draft a quarterback at number one, because ultimately we know Sam Bradford is probably, more times than not, going to suffer an injury that's going to allow you to put the number one quarterback on the field. Hopefully it happens after the midway point, and it's a win-win. So I'm going to go Sam Bradford, Cleveland Browns. That is a way for them to get the veteran on the field, a starter who has won games in this league, who has played well when he's been healthy, but it also gives an opportunity to bring in a young guy to compete with him.
I like that. I like that thought process there. Teddy Bridgewater, the third Viking free agent quarterback. I think that Minnesota would probably like to have him back. They could get him on a cheap deal, come back at a low number. I don't think he would come back as the starter. I think I'll get to what my plans are for them in just a little bit. But I think he's another one like Bradford, probably going to have to go somewhere where they have a quarterback in place that's going to be entrenched as the number one. But I look at a team that just made a trade. Alex Smith gets traded from Kansas City. You're handing the keys of the car to a Pat Mahomes. Everything about Teddy Bridgewater in terms of him as a teammate is off the charts outstanding. Plus gives him just a little bit of veteran insurance there. Teddy Bridgewater goes under Andy Reid, gets himself healthy, probably balls out in the preseason. Andy Reid will end up spinning him off for a pick. But I could see Teddy Bridgewater, the Kansas City Chiefs.
That's smart. I like that. That's smart. Smart personnel football right there. Put him there. Put him with a good quarterback guru who can really elevate his play. I like that. I like Minnesota more because I think Minnesota knows him more. And I don't know what that market is going to be for Teddy Bridgewater if he leaves the Purple People Eaters. I wonder how people value him. I think he's better served to stay in Minnesota and kind of find his way back maybe to the starting role. Kansas City is also a viable option, but I like Minnesota in this situation.
I like to shake it up a little bit. All right, here's the next one. This is a fun one because Nick Foles, will they, won't they, when it comes to the trade? We've been on record saying I'd be very hesitant when you've got a team coming off of a Super Bowl win, you've got a quarterback, you aren't quite sure about his health situation. I'd be a little bit skeptical of parting with Nick Foles, but in this scenario, let's say they decide to make the move. The team that puts together, it's not going to be 2 ones and 2 twos, but a couple draft picks, maybe one this year, one next year. I've got the Arizona Cardinals making a run to pick up Nick Foles via trade.
Ooh, I don't know if Arizona could do that. They did that once. They went shopping at the Philadelphia Eagles store, and they got Kevin Cobb. I don't know if they can go back. I don't know if I can go back to that department store.
Hey, Kevin Cobb, if I'm mistaken, I don't remember the confetti falling on Kevin Cobb. I don't remember. I don't think I saw that.
No, we didn't see it. I think Nick Foles stays in Philadelphia. I think Nick Foles is very, very comfortable in Philly as the backup to Carson Wentz. I think his ego's in the right spot. He knows he can be a hero forever in Philadelphia, never have to pay for a meal in a restaurant. And also, I think he can always be one of those longtime backup quarterbacks that make good money and never has to play. And then he goes into his life's work as a mission.
Did go back to Kevin Cobb real quick. Do you get a ring for having a couple good starts in Philadelphia? I don't remember. But they handed a, did they have a parade for
No, they didn't. But I think it leaves some scars. I think it leaves some scars when you think the last time we shopped at this place, we end up having to bring it back. So I just don't know. I don't know if we can return another item at this store again. So I think Arizona may bypass that. I think there's another place, another quarterback.
We'll revisit this. When they make this trade, mark this tape. We'll bring it back. All right, your guy, A.J. McCarron, I got going to Cleveland. I know you had Sam Bradford going to Cleveland. I got A.J. McCarron going to Cleveland. Come on, Buck. It's Hugh's guy.
No. I think A.J. is like, no. I think he knows exactly who he is, and he knows that they don't have the supporting cast to allow him to play that way. And also, if you're A.J. McCarron and you're going from being the backup to Andy Dalton,
he's going to get Mike Glennon, Buck.
Why would you want to go to Cleveland and know that they're going to draft a quarterback at number one and it's only a matter of time? I don't think he signs up for that at all. I'm saying A.J. McCarron, Arizona, and if it's not Arizona, my sleeper team, the Buffalo Bills. And the reason the Buffalo Bills, Brian Daboll, offensive coordinator, has what? Alabama ties.
Okay. It fits. I see what you're doing there.
It fits.
I like the Buffalo endorsement. Okay, I like the Buffalo angle. That's an interesting one. I'm just telling you, I'm writing it down right now. He's going to get Glennon, whether or not it's with Cleveland, whether or not it's with Arizona. He's going to go to Arizona. Say he goes to Arizona. They pick, what, 15th? He's going to enjoy a few weeks. He'll stave off
Baker Mayfield and anybody else. He'll stave
He's going to feel real good about it. And all of a sudden, we're going to be sitting there at the desk in Dallas. And it's going to be about the, I don't know, 7th or 8th pick. And it's going to we have a trade. The Arizona Cardinals are now on the clock. And A.J. McCarron is going to start throwing stuff in his study. Because they just came up to take Josh Allen.
So cruel. He has it. Arizona would be perfect for him. Veteran receiver. Good coach. Defensive-oriented squad. Won't turn it over.
I like the Buffalo call, though. That's not bad. All right, last one. This is the big fish in the pond here. Kirk Cousins. No drum roll, but look, the Minnesota Vikings, I just keep beating that drum. It makes more sense than any place else. When you look at all the pieces they have in place there offensively, the offensive line much improved last year. You've got two running backs, Latavius Murray and Dalvin Cook, who before he got injured was tearing up the league. You've got emerging star young receivers and Stephon Diggs, and your favorite player, Adam Thielen. They've got a young tight end or youngish tight end in Kyle Rudolph. One of the best defenses in the league. You get to play 8 games indoors at home. You get to play a 9th game indoor every year in Detroit. So minimum 9 games in weather-controlled climate. It all makes sense that Minnesota should be the most desirable spot for Kirk Cousins. And if you're the Minnesota Vikings knocking on the door of a Super Bowl, I think he's an upgrade over what you had in Case Keenum. I think you've got to go for it, make a run at Kirk Cousins.
Look, I think you have fantasy football. You must have fantasy football implications. I think you have Kirk Cousins in a legacy league. I think you're going on because it's a perfect fit for him to thrive. Two receivers on the outside, defense, everything that is stellar. I can see it going. I think he goes, man, I just wonder, how does that upset the apple cart when you bring him in? Are you able to retain everybody on defense? It would be a perfect fit. It'd be a great fit. He's playing inside. They have tons of money. I just wonder about, you know, the egos and attitudes because you're dismissing three of your guys at quarterback to take on a new guy. I just wonder how that plays.
They want rings, Buck. They want rings. Yes. Those three guys are good dudes. No rings. I think Kirk Cousins, look at this. Look at this from this standpoint. I was thinking about this. All right, so if you look at Washington, where Cousins was, right? Mm-hmm. And then let's look at Minnesota. Let's just do a little ledger sheet here. Let's just start. Let's say offensive line, because of the injuries they had, I would give the edge to Minnesota last year. Although it's when Washington's offensive line was healthy, they were okay. Not a bad group, right? Mm-hmm. Outside of the offensive line, when you look at running backs, receivers, tight ends, because Jordan Reed's never on the field. He's perpetually hurt. Then you look at the defensive personnel. Minnesota is superior in every single spot.
I mean,
the upgrade in talent he would have would be tremendous.
Yeah, I mean, he would have the best talent that he's ever had. I mean, it would be a terrific opportunity for them. I think it could elevate Minnesota's offense with that new coordinator taking over. I think the big thing would be just really, how does it play in the locker room? I mean, do you have any bruised feelings when they see three of their quarterbacks go out the door and they bring a guy in? But it's a great situation. It's a great environment. I can see why he would want to go there. I can see why they would want him to go there because that's kind of like the missing piece of the puzzle for them. They were a game away from going to the Super Bowl. I think they feel like Kirk could push them over the top.
Yeah, look, it'll be interesting to see where all these guys land on the quarterback carousel. But one of the things that quarterback carousel is going to do is have impact on the draft. And that's what I want to jump into now because we've got the combine coming up. We're going to start on the offense today. We'll do the defense coming up a little bit later on in the week, Buck. But I want to go through, this is the format we've got here. Going to go by position, talk about an intriguing prospect at the position, who needs to have a big week at the position, and maybe one guy that's a little bit off the radar that we think could kind of jump on the scene a little bit at each position. Then at the end, we'll wrap it up a little offensive MVP and maybe a little, hey, don't be too concerned. Get one guy that's this event was not made for, not going to have a big week, but don't panic. So let's start here offensively. Let's start at the quarterback position. Who's an intriguing guy you're looking forward to watching here at the combine at the quarterback position, Buck?
Look, man, I think it always centers around Josh Allen. I think Josh Allen is the guy that I'm most intrigued to watch. And the reason I want to watch him is I want to see what his talent looks like compared to the other guys side by side. I want to see him throw beside Josh Rosen, Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield, Lamar Jackson. I want to see if his talent is as transcendent as we've been led to believe in the scouting community. If it is that, I want to see what does it look like now that he's worked on it for the last 2 or 3 months on his form, on his footwork. Is he more accurate? Even though he's not throwing the guys that he knows, I just want to see does the ball consistently land within the strike zone? Because the biggest questions about Josh Allen has been his accuracy. So if he's an accurate thrower, if he lights the world on fire with his arm talent, then I think you feel a little more comfortable thinking that he can be the number one overall pick in this draft when I think other quarterbacks are better suited to kind of handle the responsibility that comes along with being the number one overall pick.
One thing I will say is if you're a wide receiver, you might want to double up on the gloves. Get up there with Josh Allen.
Be ready for the heater. Be ready for the heater.
Yes. Give him the heater, Ricky. let's focus to me. I'm looking at intriguing prospects. I feel like throughout the last month, we've been talking about three quarterbacks. We've been talking about Baker Mayfield. You know, where does he fit? You know, how is he going to play at the next level? That's been a debate. Josh Allen, who you just mentioned, some people love him. Some people hate him. He's been a hot button topic there. And then recently over the last week, it's been Lamar Jackson. Those have been the three quarterbacks everybody's talking about. So to me, I still think the best two quarterbacks, we have them in a different order, but we agree on this one, are Sam Darnold and Josh Rosen. So I think they get center stage here at the combine. I'm watching to see Sam Darnold. I want to see if he's incorporating a little bit more of his lower half, if he's loosened up a little bit. Has he tightened up the delivery? I think Josh Rosen will put on a clinic throwing the ball. I'm anxious to see him go through the athletic testing because there's some of the concerns with him, how he plays when things break down, just where is he at athletically. I think those two guys are the best two quarterbacks in the draft. I can't wait to watch them in Indy.
I mean, I'm excited to watch them play. I'm excited. I mean, I can't say they play, but I'm excited to watch them throw it around the yard. This could be kind of like a shootout of the OK Corral when you have all these gunslingers able to throw the ball on turf, and all these guys are throwing like they said they're going to throw. Man, this should be exciting to watch, to be able to have the opportunity to watch all these guys throw back to back to back to back. Could really help us sort out some of the questions that we have at the quarterback position.
Who needs to have a big week at the quarterback spot, Buck? If you had to just look, everybody wants to do well, but who has the most riding on it, you think?
I think Baker Mayfield does. I think Baker Mayfield does. Now that football is done, we put the pads away, and now we're in the T-shirt and shorts workout portion of the deal. Baker Mayfield needs to be able to show up. People want to worry about the size because he's just a tad over 6 feet. They want to see what his arm looks like in comparison to the other guys. And then, more importantly, they want to take him behind the curtain, and they want to kind of pick his brain and see, is he really, really about the life of being a franchise quarterback, or does he want to be a star in this league? And I think that is the thing where he really needs to focus on. Not the stuff that we're going to see, but the stuff that takes place late at night when they're sitting down, they're picking his brain, and they're trying to figure out how much does he want it? How much does he want to be a franchise quarterback, or does he want to be a celebrity that enjoys all the things that comes along with being a franchise quarterback in the league?
Yeah, look, I think those interviews will be big for him. And, again, celebrity quarterback, that's the question. That to me, is the line in the sand. Mm-hmm. What do you want to be? Where do you want to go here? Because if you take care of the quarterback stuff, the celebrity stuff will kind of come with
naturally
it.
Naturally happens.
If you're focused on the celebrity stuff, you're going to get none of the above.
Yeah.
That's just my take on that whole thing. To me, who needs to have a big week? The first thought was Lamar Jackson, just because I want to see mechanically, has he cleaned some things up? Has he widened himself out a little bit with his base and his lower half? I think that'll help his accuracy issues. So that's an interesting one to me. But I'm going to go and say a guy I just went and watched workout the other day, Luke Falk from Washington State, who was having a great week down at the Senior Bowl. Then he was not able to play in the game. He went to his teammate, one of your former players there, Tyler Helinski's funeral service. So he did not play in the Senior Bowl game. So he kind of lost a little bit of that momentum he had generated from the week of practice, although 100% did the right thing in going to the service of his teammate. But watching him throw the other day, Buck, man, he and his footwork, he might have the cleanest footwork, which is interesting for a guy who's just kind of lived in the air raid system. Watching him take his drop, he's got beautiful, beautiful feet getting back quickly, getting set up. Mechanically, everything is really, really tight and compact. He throws with anticipation, timing, and touch. He's got outstanding toughness when you study him. The one question is just pure velocity. I mean, does he have enough velocity needed to make those 5 to 6 throws you have to make in a game? That is the concern. So for all the people talking about underwear Olympics and what do you get out of this, look, the kind of velocity he watches, I don't care what the radar gun says. Just watch him with your eyes. Give him the eyeball test. Can he generate a nice flat drive throw with the necessary velocity? That's going to be what Luke Falk has to show. So I think it's a big opportunity for him to get out there with all these other quarterbacks side by side and see how he stacks up.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's huge week. Huge week for him. He is someone that I believe is a Patriot all day. He looks like a New England Patriot. I can see him being a guy in the second or third round that they make a move on it. His maturity, his experience, the way that he directed the offense at Washington State, meaning executing the run pass checks and made them really a more proficient running game. He has an opportunity to be a guy that is a solid option in the second or third round. He just needs to put it together when he has his opportunity in the workout.
Yeah, I enjoyed talking with him too. Very, very. He's a good kid. He's a serious kid. He's passionate about it. He's competitive. And I did like the fact through our conversation, he did bring up, you know, hey, yeah, you know, Darnold and Rosen, great quarterbacks. I got a chance to go up against both of them. Haven't lost either one. So, and Washington State doesn't necessarily have the same group around him that they have down there in Los Angeles.
For sure.
Those two schools.
Absolutely.
So anyways, he'll be fun to watch. All right, quickly here, just an off the radar guy. We haven't mentioned him, but somebody that will draw some attention with what he does in Indy at the quarterback position.
I think Mike White from Western Kentucky has an opportunity to steal the show a little bit. Arm is going to be big, former MLB farm system product, guy who can make all the throws. Numbers went down a little bit at Western Kentucky after the coaching change, but I think people will go back, they're going to look at his junior tape and say, maybe there's something there. He has a chance to rise up the chart if he throws the ball pretty well this weekend.
I'm going to go with Mason Rudolph, and I think him and Luke Falk are kind of in a competition, jockeying for that next spot. Talk about the big five quarterbacks, Darnold, Rosen, Mayfield, Allen, and then throw Lamar Jackson in there. I think those five guys, everybody is kind of has them in any kind of order, but usually they're regarded as the top five. I think getting that the win in the next tier, which is going to come down to who you just mentioned, Mike White, Mason Rudolph, Luke Falk, Kyle LaLetta from Richmond. I think that group of quarterbacks jockeying for that next spot, which could be, it could be at the top of the second round. But I'll put Mason Rudolph up there. I think he's got a chance to impress some people. Some questions about him when you study him. He's kind of a pusher. The arm doesn't really match the size. And can he throw with anticipation and timing? Those will be things we're looking to see there at the combine, but I think it's a big week for him. Let's move on. We can go a little bit faster on these when I wanted to dig in, do a little deeper work there on the quarterback position. Let's jump over to the running backs, Buck, and an intriguing prospect for you at the running back position is who?
Sony Michel. Sony Michel is intriguing to me because what I see is an Alvin Kamara-like playmaker, a guy that can not only impact the game as a runner but as a receiver that can move around and do a lot of special things in the passing game. To look at Sony Michel and to know he has two 1,000-yard seasons despite splitting time with Nick Chubb during his career says a lot about his ability to make it happen. He doesn't have a lot of catches on his career resume, but I don't think it's an issue because we've seen in big games, particularly I want to say in the Oklahoma game, he caught the ball, made some plays. National Championship game, we saw him make some plays. I think he has an opportunity to be one of those mismatch players that has a big impact on an offense if used in the right way.
Outstanding football player, can do a little bit of everything. The fumble issues is the one knock on him. Nothing really he can do at the combine to alleviate those concerns.
He can walk around with the ball. He can walk around with the ball tucked under his arm when he goes to interviews. It tells me
yeah,
he's
go to
working
interview
on
rooms.
It.
Yeah, keep. I would Velcro that thing. Just Velcro it to your shirt. Hold it and get those points of pressure underway there. I'm going to go Mark Walton from Miami.
Oh, that's
one
good
of my favorite players. He's fun to watch, man. He's 5'9 and a half, 205 pounds. He's tough running between the tackles. I'll tell you what, when you go back and watch him against NC State last year, you see him get locked up in pass protection with Bradley Chubb on several occasions. He sticks his face right in the fan. He is extremely tough and competitive, so I love that about him. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. He can do a lot of different things. I've heard some comparisons saying he's kind of a little bit like Devontae Freeman. I don't know if he's quite as thick as Devontae Freeman was coming out, but he's that type of a player. I can't wait to watch him work out.
Did
he's
they play
my,
together?
My intriguing
they,
one.
I think. Did they play together in the same backfield in high school? Maybe Ooh, I'm off okay. on that. I'm trying to think. There's a Miami player. No, not Devontae Freeman. I'm thinking Dalvin Cook. Dalvin
okay,
Cook
yeah,
is
yeah.
someone.
Yeah,
they
no,
played.
He might have been. It might have been the same high school.
Yeah, I think they played at the same high school, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah, I can see that. That's a really, really good comparison. Devontae Freeman. Devontae Freeman is, I won't say undersized, but shorter, tougher, compact. Powerful, has some quickness and wiggle. Mark Walton is a really, really good player. He does fly under the radar. He could kind of pop back up on the scene with a big workout.
All right, who needs to have a big week here?
Man, it's so tough. I think Nick Chubb needs to have a big week. And the reason Nick Chubb needs to have a big week, I think he has been pegged as a one-dimensional player, meaning an old-school sledgehammer running back that only does it as a runner. Can he catch the ball? I want to see if he can catch the ball, what his routes look like. I don't have big expectations in terms of him being an outstanding route runner, but if he can catch the ball and be a credible threat in the passing game, it gives him opportunity to be an every-down player. That will enhance his value.
Yeah, no, I think the 40 time will be big for him too. I've been told by some people in the league that he's actually timed faster than Sony Michel at Georgia, which that kind of trips me out because I did not see that when I – studied those guys on tape, but that's what some guys are saying around the league. I'll go Royce Freeman. I think he needs to have a big week just in terms of showing he's got some juice. You know, does he have the juice, or is he going to be a Samaje Perine? There's nothing wrong with that. Samaje Perine got picked a little bit later and was productive last year for the Washington Redskins. But I think in terms of wiggle room of where he could go in the draft, I think Royce Freeman's got quite a bit. I could see him going in the I could see him going in the late second, early third round, Buck. I could see him going in the sixth round. He has a lot riding on that week.
Oh, he absolutely does. He absolutely does. He has to show up. He has to come up. He has to be big when it comes to his ability to show his speed, his power, his explosiveness, and catching the ball. I think all of those things, we have seen the impact that running backs make, and we want to see more of these new school hybrid type players make their way in the league. You're going to have to offer more than just being a runner to really be a top pick.
No doubt. All right. How about off the radar? Give me one off the radar player. Keep an eye on.
He's not really off the radar, but I'm saying Rashad Penny is a guy that I'm continuing to look at. And the reason I'm looking at him, I don't think he's going to test well, but what I want to do is I want to fast forward to the route running portion of the workout. I want to see if he can do some of the things that we saw from Christian McCaffrey and Alvin Kamara at the end of their workout last year when we saw them run routes and run the option routes, and it looked very natural to them. Penny's ability to catch the ball out the backfield could be maybe his blue chip trait, the thing that sets him apart from some of the others. Let's see how natural he is catching the ball. Let's see how smooth and fluid he is running routes. And does he have a little explosiveness to separate from linebackers? Could he be a guy that is a headache just because he is unguardable in the passing game?
No, that's a good one. How about our buddy that we talked to, back at the Pac-12 media day, Kalen Ballage from Arizona State? He's going to put on a show. And you saw him, you saw Penny and Ballage together at the Senior Bowl. Both have big weeks. Both played well in the game.
Absolutely.
The question about Ballage is, tough is he? How hard does he run? He ran really hard at the Senior Bowl. Now this is his event because he is going to be, look, he was measured 6'2", 223 pounds. He's going to be close, 220, 230. He's going to run in the low 4.4s, if not better. So you're going to see some serious buzz start to build for him. And the last one I'll mention here quickly, undersized back, Rock Thomas from Jacksonville State. He was a five-star kid, went to Auburn, ended up transferring to Jacksonville State. Undersized, 5'10", 195 pounds. Hopefully he gets up, 10 pounds and get up to about 205. But he can roll, and you look at him on tape, you see some of the things that you saw from an Alvin Kamara at Tennessee. He is elusive. He's explosive. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. Can do a lot of different things. I wish he was a little bit bigger. But, man, you were a five-star coming out of high school for a reason. You know you've got some natural ability. He's one I'd keep an eye on.
Wow, the way to dig deep. Five-star.
You like that
recruits.
One, Mark?
I am big on always looking at the high school rankings, trying to figure out where some of these guys landed, because if they're talented enough to earn those five stars, it means that people thought that they had big things in them. And so I want to keep up with them. So I will definitely keep my eye on him. Man, that's a good call. What a dig in the crates.
23rd overall prospect coming out of high school.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cool, Sully.
Yes, sir.
I put a little something. If you want to see it, if you want to see what this kid looks like, go over to my Instagram. I just moved the sticks on Instagram. You can sort through there. I've got a couple videos of this kid. You can see how elusive and explosive he is. He's a fun player to watch. Let's go to the wideouts here, Buck. Most intriguing player.
Most intriguing player to me is going to be Cortland Sutton. And the reason I'm intrigued, you want to see if the big wide receiver that looks like a natural number one has enough explosiveness to separate to be on the field. Coming off of the success that we saw with Alshon Jeffrey running through the playoffs and in the Super Bowl, teams are really fascinated by the big body playmaker. Can Sutton show that he's worthy of being a first-round talent and maybe a top 15 talent if he runs well and performs well on the turf?
Yeah, look, all these wide receivers, I can't remember a year where I've got so many jumbled up together. And I think the combine is going to be more impactful at this position than in any other year that I've been scouting, just because you're trying to separate ties. I don't buy, some people think you go to the combine and guys move wildly. No. It's when you have similar grades on a player. It's the exact same grades in some cases. So, I'll look at a Cortland Sutton compared with an Equanimeous St. Brown. Those are big receivers. Auden Tate's another big receiver. Semi Cobb's another big receiver. These guys are all 6'4" types. So how do they compare together? I even put Javon Wims from Georgia in there. How do all those big guys move around? How do you separate them when you watch them out on the workout? And then you've got some of the smaller guys too. You can look at Christian Kirk, the 6-footers. You look at Anthony Miller from Memphis, 6-footer. James Washington, 6-footer. Like, to me, it's going to be separating those little clumps. So I'm going to cheat here. The most intriguing prospects, freaking all of them. I mean, this wide receiver group is so clumped in together. I'm looking forward to seeing all these guys. I am so, it's like just a knot on my list. I want to see this thing stretch out a little bit and get a little more clarity.
Yeah, I mean, that would be the separating factor for me, not only watching what their numbers come back as, but having the opportunity to watch them run routes behind one another to see who is a good route runner. Because one thing that stood up, Juju Smith and Cooper Kupp had success as rookies because they were route runners. And guys that went ahead of them that had more, sought after or coveted numbers or measurables
raw
weren't able to produce. These dudes were polished. They had success because they were able to jump right in an offense and make contributions. I'm looking for those guys, the polished route runners, because they give you an opportunity to get them on the field and they can make contributions right away.
No question. All right, who needs to have a big week?
You know, it's tough because Calvin Ridley is the number one receiver for me. I think Calvin Ridley needs to have a big week just to show people that he is clearly the number one receiver and that he's worthy of being a guy that is in the conversation as a top 15 pick. He is smooth. He's fluid. He's explosive. He has a proven track record of being able to make plays. However, we kind of forgot about him a little bit, maybe because of quarterback issues. I want to see Calvin Ridley dominate the combine, not only in drills, but I wanted to be clear and apparent that he's the best route runner in the draft because I think that's what he is coming in. That's my expectation that he's going to be the cleanest route runner that we see there. If he does that, I think it could give him an opportunity to maybe crack into the top 10 because there's a need for playmakers for a couple teams up in that category. He's going to have to justify it with his performance on the turf.
Yeah, I'm with you though. I have him as the top guy, and then I have a little bit of a gap there before I get into that next tier, which is very much up in the air here. Looking forward to sorting that out. Let me give you a guy that needs to have a big week, and that's Jordan Lasley from UCLA, who is explosive, has some big games, but there's some off the field stuff you got to sort out. Been suspended, you know, for a game here or there, so there's some of those issues you got to try and navigate through in the meeting rooms. But then just catching the football, Buck. He must have had – I haven't seen the raw numbers. He had to lead the country in drops. There's a million of them. I go through and watch all the targets for him, and I see the explosive plays, but, man, he does not have natural hands. So watching him in the field workout, just catch the ball. That'll be big for him. Now let's go quickly here to the off-the-radar group. I'll start us off with this one. Here's a name. Again, somebody that does have some drops, but I bet you'll start to see a little bit of buzz build for Marquez Valdez-Scantling from South Florida. He's going to be 6'4 plus, Buck. He might run under 4'4. He's going to be an intriguing guy to watch. He has got big-time juice, and it shows up on tape.
Wow. Look at you.
I'm digging. I've done – Buck, I swear I spent freaking 2 weeks doing all these receivers. They had all 45 of these combine wide receivers. Now, I haven't got all the players done for the combine. Several other positions where I'm still – trying to grind through. I will not get them all done before the combine. Just too many guys.
But you won't get them all done?
All the receivers.
You won't get them all done? You won't get them all done?
Not all of them, no. But I do have all the receivers. I have all the running backs. And that's a pretty good chunk there. And a lot of them, I'm pretty close on it, several other positions. But those two positions, man, the receivers. Again, that's why I tweeted out, if you can play both corner or wide out and you're going into college, do the defensive thing because you're going to be competing with a million wide receivers every year where we're trying to create corners out of thin air.
Absolutely. So the guy that I'm going there, I'm going to stay in L.A., and I'm going to go with Deontay Burnett. I think Deontay Burnett has kind of fallen all the way off the radar. Slight, undersized, 6 foot, only 170, 175 pounds. But when Sam Darnold was playing at his best, it has something to do with Deontay Burnett playing that role as a coveted slot receiver, the playmaker is capable of moving the chains. I think the big thing with him – I don't know how fast he's going to run, but I do want to see him run routes because we talked about the guys who have had success are the route runners, the guys that can come into the league and jump right in as a number three receiver and get on the field, and they can win against a third cornerback. I think Burnett may have an opportunity to do that because he is a very, very talented wide receiver with some playmaking ability.
Yeah, I like him. To me, listed at 170 pounds, how big is he is a question. How strong is he just because playing inside?
He's light.
He's going to get
– He can wiggle.
A little light. Yeah, he's got some wiggle, but you got to be able to power through down there too. You got to do some dirty work. To me, strength is a little bit of a question. One of the best route runners. He's got outstanding hands. He has some circus catches when you watch all of his targets this year. I put him in like that third, fourth round. Grade. I listed him as an eventual starter. I don't know if he's an immediate starter, but I think he's an eventual starter in the slot. He's a good football player. I like that one. Let's jump over to tight ends. Intriguing prospect.
I'm intrigued by Mark Andrews from Oklahoma. And the reason I'm intrigued by him is we never really talk about him. Right now the conversation has been on Dallas Goedert and Hayden Hurst, and Mark Andrews just kind of falls by the wayside. I want to see how he tests. I want to see how athletic he is because when I watch the tape and I see Baker Mayfield throwing the ball all over the yard, this guy is always on the receiving end. And I know Hollywood gets it done on the outside, but right down the middle of the field, he makes some plays. He has some run after catchability. I want to size him up, see how tall he is, see how athletic he is. Can he create consistent separation from linebackers and DBs in space?
Yeah, that's a good one. To me, he's so wide open all the time when you watch him and they get guys.
That's what he's supposed to be. You want to get wide open.
A lot of it, it's a straight line, just running right down the field, wide open. So he's off pop passes
and play action,
or wheels. They get him on wheels, and he gets lost in cover. They get lost in coverage, and he's skirting down the field naked. No, that's an interesting one. I'm not as high on him as some other guys, but I'll say who's going to put on a show. I'm intrigued by is Gesicki from Penn State. We talked to him.
Oh, basketball player.
He's going to jump out the gym.
He's going to jump out the gym. Basketball, volleyball background, everything that you want to see. I worry about the frame. I felt like he got ragdolled a little bit down in the Senior Bowl. But in an offense where we have seen Jordan Reed have a lot of success, there's no reason why Gesicki can't have the same kind of success that Jordan Reed had in Washington. Displace him, put him in the slot, put him out wide, let him run routes. Don't even think about using him as a blocker. He is an oversized wide receiver. Use him to take advantage of linebackers and safeties in space.
All right, how about give me a player needs to have a big week, tight end position.
Man, you know, it's tough because we talked about those two top guys. But I'm going to go a little deeper. Troy Fumagalli from Wisconsin. And the reason he needs to have a big week, Wisconsin has a tradition of really producing NFL-caliber tight ends. I want to see, once again, it is always about the workout. I think he is one of the best at boxing out and creating separation in terms of just being bigger than the guys that he faces in the Big Ten. But can he run well enough to be a factor down the seam and also running routes in that intermediate area between the hashes? I think he's a really good player. He didn't play with a great quarterback, but he still found a way to have production. I want to see how he works out, how he performs.
Yeah, I'll give you Dalton Schultz from Stanford, who I'm a little bit lower on than that top group. You've got Hayden Hurst, Dallas Goedert, who I don't know if Goddard's going to be able to do anything coming off that hamstring he had at the Senior Bowl. I think those two guys are jockeying for the top tight end spot. Hurst, a former baseball player, a little bit older at South Carolina. Love his toughness and his game. Goddard, probably the best all-around route runner. And I think if healthy, has a good shot as emerging as the number one overall guy. You got Gesicki, you got Fumagalli. But then you get down into that Mark Andrews, Dalton Schultz type area. So Dalton Schultz from Stanford's been tight end you. Can he do something to kind of separate himself from the pack and try and move up a little bit? He's one I'll keep an eye on here.
Yeah, I mean, good player, and we've like the tight end position now has been the biggest mismatch position. We've seen so many guys that have been able to come in and make all kinds of waves, splashes, big time plays. We're looking to see more guys that can kind of make it happen over the middle of the field. I'm excited, man. I think this class has plenty of options. It's just a matter of what do you have, what do you want to see, what are you looking for at the position.
All right, I think we covered that tight end group pretty good here. Let's move here quickly to the offensive line, and we kind of lump them all together here: guards, tackles, centers. Just give me a name here, Buck. Give me somebody you're intrigued by.
Billy Price, Ohio State. I'm intrigued by Billy Price. Billy Price, movement skills, his athleticism. I think he has a chance to be an Pro Bowl caliber center really early in his career. I like the way he moves. I like the way he is able to trap. Kind of reminds me a little bit of Jason Kelce in terms of it's unique to see a center that is able to snap and then out and lead in front on some outside run plays. I think he has that ability. I'm excited to see him play.
Yeah, how about Will Hernandez, who the buzz just keeps building on him with the week he had down at the Senior Bowl. This guy's almost 350 pounds. He can move. He dominated the week down there. Can he keep it going? Can he keep the momentum going? We talk about being able to check all the boxes. He was good on tape. He's good at the All-Star game. Can he check the next box here at the Combine? Will Hernandez, guard from UTEP, who's fun to watch. I mean, he is a physical, physical football player. So he's one I'm definitely intrigued by.
Yeah, really intrigued. I thought he was a good player. He held his own, more than held his own, at the Senior Bowl. And I think the Senior Bowl is a really good litmus test to let you know how these guys could fare and perform in the league. The offensive line, particularly the interior guys, did a really, really good job that week.
All right, let's get to who needs to have a big week in this group.
I think Hayden Hurst needs to have a big week. No, hold on. I'm talking about tight ends. I'm talking
jump
about
jump
tight
back
ends.
Into the
back.
Offensive line.
Let
buddy.
Me back. Let me go back. Let
I
me
like
go
that
back.
You like
let
my
me
guy.
Go back. Let me go back. Offensive line play. I think Orlando Brown needs to have a big week. And the reason Orlando Brown needs to have a big week, everyone has said that he is a right tackle. He doesn't have the footwork and the athleticism to play left tackle. Well, when I look at the top of the charts, I don't know how many left tackle prospects are really available. So which one of these guys can make the move over and just hold his own at left tackle for a while? And so I want to see if Orlando Brown has bloodlines, but does he have the athleticism and footwork to be able to do it, or is he destined just to be a right tackle and a right tackle for his entire career?
Yeah, no, that's a good one there. I'm going to go. How about let's go? Ooh, I got a couple small school guys I'm really intrigued by, but I'm going to cheat. I'm going to give you two guys who I have the same grade on. They're really stuck together on my list. Similar type players. I want to see how they separate themselves. And that's Martinez Rankin from Mississippi State and Chukwuma Okafor from Western Michigan. How do those guys compare with one another? I want to look at their numbers, their workouts side by side and see if I can sort those guys out. I talk about the combine being a place to break ties. I have those guys right next to each other.
Ooh, that's nice. That's a nice pick. Kid from Western Michigan is talented for sure. He's going to have a chance.
All right, let's get to who will steal the show. Maybe a guy that's not on the radar right now at the offensive line spot you think will be a talking point once we get out of there.
I think the big thing, we talk about the lack of tackles. I think this guy started to generate some buzz and had been in the conversation the last few weeks. How about Terrell Crosby from Oregon in terms of just being a bad body guy that can play? Let's see if he can kind of put it together where he shows enough athleticism where people are like, you know what, I don't necessarily like the package that it comes in, but I'm willing to buy the product. Terrell Crosby is a guy that I think we may be talking about because the pool is so thin on the outside. We're trying to find anybody who has the hint of potential as a starter.
Yeah, that's a good one there. I'm going to go, here's one that's going to just destroy the testing numbers here. When you look at this offensive line group, go to Pittsburgh, Brian O'Neill. I saw them training the other day and went and watched him work out, watched him run. He is going to run fast. He's going to be 300 pounds, Buck. He's going to probably run at worst, I think it's low 4.9s. He might get below 4.9. So needs to get stronger. That's something he's continued to work on, just get a little bit firmer in his base. But you're talking about a former tight end who's got some real, real athleticism, quick feet. He's explosive. I think you'll see him put on a show, especially once he toes the line to run there.
Wow, that's good. Remember, we're desperate times. Right now at the offensive line, particularly on the outside, we need some guys that can show up and perform really, really well.
All right, as we wrap up the offensive group here, just give me who's the combine offensive player of the week, I guess. I know it's not games. I don't want to get too carried away here. But who's the guy we're all going to be buzzing about once the combine's over? You get to pick one guy on offense. Who is it?
I'm going to go with quarterback. I think we're going to buzz about Josh Rosen. I think this is a tailor-made event for Josh Rosen. I think he's the most natural thrower in the class. I expect him to put on a show. If he doesn't put on a show in this environment, I would be shocked based on what I know about him as a thrower and a performer.
Yeah, I mean, look, just watching the little deal we had on NFL.com with that documentary series they're doing, saw the first episode. It's pretty cool. You can check it out. Just go to NFL.com. You'll find it on there. But Josh, like, keeps throwing the ball really well. I think he will put on a clinic throwing the rock. But, hey, the song comes in my head, Buck. The Freaks come out at night, and it's going to be in the morning when this Freak's coming out because he is the best player in the draft. That's Saquon Barkley. And I think coming out of this week when we see a guy 230 pounds roll like he rolls, run routes, catch the ball, do everything, jump, the strength numbers, I think Saquon Barkley walk out of that event with his head held high, and he'll be the dude we're all talking about.
Oh, I mean, he's going to crush it. And talking to guys that are training him down there, they say he's going to run probably in the 4.4, maybe he goes a little lower. They say the stories that you all hear about him are true. Most competitive guy. He won't let anyone outwork him. If someone still has their cleats on while he's wrapping up his workout, he will run over to him and finish their workout with them. He is a guy that checks off all the boxes, not only as a player, but as a leader, as a worker. He is everything you want. He is my best player in this draft. I'm looking forward to seeing him light it up this week.
All right, give me a player that maybe this event wasn't made for him, but it's a good player, and don't let it bother you. Don't let it get carried away. Just be prepared that he's not going to have a great day.
I think someone that could kind of be out – he's going to outperform what his measurables and how he plays or how he runs around. I think Tavarius McFadden from Florida State. Tavarius McFadden was a pretty good player last year off his sophomore year tape. Didn't play as well this past season, but when I go back and I look at my notes, I was really, really big on him. I think his ability to play the position is going to give him an opportunity to be a solid pro. I don't have big visions of him running really fast. I think he's going to run probably that high 4.5 category, but I think he's a really good football player. I think he's someone that when we look back in a year or so, we'll be like, man, how do we miss on this guy?
Yeah, I mean, look, to me, Isaiah Wynn is somebody we've trumpeted early on in the process, the guard from Georgia. I think he will probably run pretty well. He's a really good athlete. But you got to get over the body. I mean, when you go to these weigh-ins, for those that don't know, you sit in there in the weigh-ins, you see these guys walk up on stage in their underwear.
Yeah.
He's not going to win that portion of it. He's got real, his arm length is okay. He's got really, really small hands under 9 inches. So you want to be a little bit bigger there from an offensive line standpoint, but just not a great body. Just get by that, because once you get on the field workout, I think he'll show why he's one of the best offensive linemen in the draft, regardless of position. But this event, at least the weigh-in portion of this event, was not built for Isaiah Wynn. He's still a winner, though. See a little play on words there?
Yeah, I like that. I like the way you fit that in.
All right. Hey, let's get out of here. Beefy show. Glad we were able to get through the big stories in the NFL, as well as an offensive preview of the NFL Scouting Combine. We'll be back a little bit later with a defensive preview. I know Sully's going to jump in my ear if I don't say this, but we have so much content coming your way. We've got several GM interviews lined up, which we'll be sprinkling in throughout the spring here. Going to visit with a bunch of them. Sully's coming down there. We'll get a bunch of really good audio. We've been working on these 360 episodes, which we're going to have on several of the top players in this draft class. We've already got some interviews done for that. It's going to be fascinating. I think you guys are going to really look forward to those, so be on the lookout for that as well. And if for some reason you did not catch our last podcast, where we had a chance to visit with Michael Vick about all things Lamar Jackson, be sure to go on and look back and look that one up, because one of the best ones that we've ever done. Buck, anything you want to add here before we get on the plane and get out of here?
No, they absolutely need to check out that Mike Vick thing. That thing was fabulous. It's fantastic. I can't wait for us to release the 360. There are a lot of good nuggets in that piece.
Yeah, we got a lot more coming your way here on Move the Sticks. Thank you guys for listening, for downloading, for subscribing, for leaving us the rankings and the comments on the iTunes, Apple Podcasts. We really do appreciate that, and we'll see you next time. Combine is here.
Thanks for downloading Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks. For more, go to nfl.com/podcasts.